It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Wakey, wakey.
Time to get up.
Good morning, citizens.
Up and at them.
Rise and shine.
This is your wake-up call, people.
Come on, the coffee's on.
We're going to get you guys circulating on Christian radio.
I understand young people. I know what's hip. I know what's on. I know what's lit. I know what's fleek.
What's up, my nerds?
Nerds! I work with a bunch of nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Rise and shine, nerds.
Welcome to the Back Row Morning Show, a part of the Love Thy Nerd podcast network. I'm station manager Matt.
And I'm Mo. And we are the official exclusive morning show for LTN Radio. Nearly all of Love Thy Nerd shows and podcasts air on LTN Radio first. And you'll also find an amazing mix of Christian rock, rap, pop, and indie all week long.
That's right. So if you're listening to the show on podcast, you are late and you're missing out on all we have to offer. Check out LTNOnAir.com or download the Live 365 app. Search and favorite LTN Radio.
Today on the show, we're talking about the new not faith-based movie known as Faith-Based. How bad is it? How accurate is it? Is it worth watching?
We've also got Junk Food Tuesday, a taste test. Ooh, it's a good one.
Oh,
and
gosh,
Ask Us
I'm
Anything,
scared.
Five Random Facts, and more. But first, today is Tuesday, October 27th, 2020, and we got some holidays to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
I feel like they're not that, like, great.
They're not that great.
We have National Black Cat Day.
Black cats can go die.
But here's the thing. So I guess this is the day to, like, acknowledge their existence and not hate on them. Because 364 other days of the year, you see a black cat and you're like, you're hissing at it.
Get away. Don't you cross my path. The other day I was working and I heard the Ring doorbell go off. And so I open it up at the camera in Deidre's home and I can't get the sound on because I've got it all Bluetoothed up and it messes up whenever the Ring thing opens. So I couldn't get the sound on time to hear what was going on. And I couldn't quite see because they were in the corner. Deidre's out there talking to him. It's like three kids from the neighborhood that I don't recognize. And then they walk away. And so I get home, and Deidre's at the door. I open the door and I say, so who are those kids? And she goes, this is how much I love you. Very sternly. I said, what? What did I do? She goes, those kids brought the cutest tiny little black kitten asking if we wanted to adopt it. And I had to say no, because I know you hate cats.
Aww. Poor Deidre.
I said, thank you for your service. Because I do hate cats. They're the worst.
They're not the worst.
I don't really like pets in general. If I had to have a pet, I guess I'd have a dog, but I don't really want a dog either.
So we have two cats, a fish,
a farm,
and four dogs.
You have a veritable zoo.
At least 3 days out of the week, I'm like, I don't want any more pets. I don't want pets at all, period. I want to get rid of all of our animals and be done. Right. We're never getting another animal ever again. We'll just see these ones off until they're no longer with us, and that'll be it.
We have had a fish for Eli for the last 2 years that he doesn't take care of anymore. I feed every single day. My wife doesn't even remember to feed it. And the other day, my son said to me the words, oh, I forgot we had a fish. And I nearly threw it outside. I was so mad.
That's fair.
So my wife was at the point like, yeah, when this fish dies, we probably won't get another one.
That's fair. It's also International Tell a Story Day.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what we do here. I just told one.
Yeah. Good job. You've done your part.
We celebrated.
Yep. And lastly, it's National American Beer Day.
So it's, I'm assuming this means beer made in America.
Absolutely. So your Bud Light, Coors Light, Budweiser.
Coors. Coors Normal. Coors Full Fat.
Sierra Nevada.
Full calorie. Is there fat in beer?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, chunks of it.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know.
I don't know what it is. Is it carbs, I guess?
It's carbs. It's hops. Yeah, there's hops. So yeah, many
hops
carbs.
And barley and all that junk. But I don't like beer.
Well, I don't like...
You like those artisanal, weird flavored beers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy going to a brewery. That's such a hard word.
Brewery.
A brewery.
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 On my way to to be a juror.
A brewery.
In the rural country.
Yeah. And trying like local.
Yeah. Craft
crafted
beers.
Beers. Yeah. I enjoy doing that.
I guess that's what I'm going to have to try if I'm going to like it, because.
Yeah.
Just tastes like burning to me.
That's fair. truly.
Burning and chemical. I have no real desire to get drunk. So I'm like, why am I drinking this?
Yeah.
I'm not enjoying any of it.
Yeah.
But some people like enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what has to happen to your taste buds? Do they just burn off because of the alcohol and then you enjoy it?
I don't know. I really do think it's more of a regional thing.
Yeah.
There are people who just kind of grew up with. Growing up around specific types of beer, you know,
and maybe it's just a drink thing in general. There's a whole ton of America that looks at sweet tea and says, "What are y'all drinking?"
It's true.
That is just pure sugar. Like, so, yeah, it's the only way to drink tea.
I grew up on sweet tea, but I prefer unsweet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Can't even drink it. Can't even drink it unsweet.
Super mm-hmm. sweet stuff makes my stomach mm-hmm. hurt. Mm-hmm. Can't do it.
It's a different problem. All right, we're going to play Onion or Not Onion here. Okay. We've got three headlines. Each of them is either a fake news story from places like The Onion or The Babylon Bee. And one of them is going to be an actual news story.
Cool.
So I'm going to read all three. Mo is going to try and guess which is the real headline. Play along at home. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Headline number one. Oh, hold on. Number two, number three. Give me a second, everybody. I wasn't prepared because I'm a poor host of a show.
So disappointed in you.
Headline number one. Headline number one is, here we go. I'm really going to say it now. Japanese teenager finally achieves her dream of dating Godzilla.
Okay.
Opinion, the word spooktacular used to mean something in this country. Or Shaquille O'Neal shatters ballot box while trying to vote for the first time.
Oh, man. Oh.
Which one's the real one?
I'm going with spooktacular.
Nope.
Really?
13-year-old Sierra Watanabe is a huge Godzilla fan. She has an impressive collection of figures and does an excellent impression of the Kaiju's roar. Recently, she wrote to Osaka television show Tante Night Scoop asking to go on a date with Godzilla. Tante Night Scoop takes requests from viewers, often very silly ones, turning those dreams into reality. My love is so great that I would like to marry Godzilla, she wrote. The latest episode visited the junior high school student at her family home in Hyogo Prefecture.
Wow.
Where she showed off her figure collection and talked about her love of Godzilla. When she saw Godzilla right outside her house, she fell down and had difficulty breathing. She then went on a date with Godzilla, packing a bento box that she made and bringing her grandfather as a chaperone. The couple visited the Godzilla Museum in Awaji Island, holding hands as they checked out the displays. Later, during lunchtime, Godzilla couldn't actually eat the bento, so she pretended to feed him. She also pretend gave him some tea. Then, as their date drew to a close, Godzilla waited on the beach at sunset. Sierra gave the kaiju a hug, a big smooch, and then proposed. Sadly, Godzilla did not take her hand in marriage, but she ended up having a memorable date.
Wow.
So my question is... Did they get like another 14, 15-year-old kid to be in the
Don't
suit?
Don't take this to an inappropriate place.
That's very inappropriate. If it's an adult in the costume.
You know it's an adult hands. In the costume.
Ugh, 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 ugh. Japan, what are you doing over there, guys?
You know, and I listened to that whole story and thought to myself, Man, he really couldn't eat or drink that whole time. You know, he was starving by the end of it. Watching her eat her bento and pretending to have to eat it. Yeah, he was starving.
Can't even say, that looks good. Put it through the mouth hole.
Right?
Just have to be like, ah.
Wow.
Oh, man. All right, let's take a break there. It is Junk Food Tuesday. We got a lot of junk food fun coming up. So let's take a break.
There's more Back Row Morning Show in just a few.
Stick around. Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show. I'm Station Manager Matt.
And I'm Mo. If you're listening on the Love Thy Nerd Podcast Network, remember that all our shows air first on LTN Radio during the actual morning hours, and we would love to kick off your day with some humor and fun.
That's right. You can head over to LTNOnAir.com and see the schedule and also download the Live 365 app on your smartphone device.
And before we do anything else, I've got 5 random facts for you.
Whoop, whoop.
So I've actually been working on this list since week one.
Okay.
Okay. And just trying to find some of the best ones to use on a Tuesday.
Okay.
Because it's food facts.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
So it's kind of just a bunch of random.
Random.
Food facts.
Non-specific food themed. Exactly. Factoids.
Okay. Montpelier, Vermont is the only U.S. capital without a McDonald's.
What a sad place to live.
Yep. In the 1700s, Europeans were scared of eating tomatoes because people would die after eating them. In reality, the acidity from tomatoes brought out the lead in their pewter plates, so actually they were dying from lead poisoning, not tomatoes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yep. Japan released. Japan released sushi-inspired Kit Kats in 2017. Ooh. Tokyo's Kit Kat chocolate. Hold on, I knew how to say this earlier, and now I can't remember. Chocolatory shop made 3 types of the chocolate bar that was sushi inspired, but they didn't actually taste like raw fish. Yeah.
Okay.
They were differing fruit flavors, but all were made with puffed rice, white chocolate, and a bit of wasabi.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bananas grow upside down, or technically we peel them upside down. Naturally, they grow outward from their stems, but that means their bottoms face the sky.
Yeah.
As they get bigger, the fruit turns toward the sun, forming their distinctive curve.
Yeah. Guys, if you're peeling your banana from the stem, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
The stem is the handle.
Mm-hmm.
You peel from the tippy top, the way it grows.
Exactly.
Sheesh.
I know.
I mean, think of Mario Kart. When you throw a banana peel, the stem's always at the top of the peel.
Right.
Why do you think it's like that? Because that's how you open it.
Yep.
Don't be banana fools.
Good job, Matt.
Sheesh.
And lastly, German chocolate cake was named for Sam German, who developed a sweet bar for Baker's chocolate and was not actually from Germany.
I don't like that fact. I don't like knowing that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It takes some of the mystique away from the German chocolate cake.
My bad.
Wait, they don't eat this in Germany?
No, they don't.
What? Actually, I hate German chocolate cake. I don't like the goopy coconut.
Oh, I love German. It's my favorite cake. Ugh. It was also my grandfather's favorite cake.
Gross.
I love it.
Gross. It's an acquired taste. All right. Well, it is Junk Food Tuesday. Despite the fact that Mo and I are both constantly on and off diets, there's one thing that we can't deny. We love junk food.
Why are you just shaming me right now?
I shame myself, too. They all know. They've been here.
Whatever.
And each week, we like to discuss new and upcoming junk foods that have been spotted in stores or announced.
And then later on the show, We've got a taste test.
Ooh, and it's a doozy, y'all.
I'm so scared.
I've been hyping it up to Mo.
Man.
To be terrified.
I am. And I am terrified.
I'm not really happy about it either because we're both going to be miserable.
Right.
But I'm excited.
That's what I said last week. It's not as if it's like a fun thing for anybody.
Right. It's not like I get a taste test to present to you.
Right.
And get to watch you. No. Yeah. We'll both be miserable together. I might throw up. Who knows?
Oh, gosh.
But before we get to that point, here's the new and upcoming junk food we've seen around the webs. Ben and Jerry's has come out with Minter Wonderland, a dark chocolate milk. Dark chocolate mint ice cream with marshmallow and chocolate cookie swirls. Hmm. I think it's going to have like a thin mintish flavor to it with a little bit of the marshmallow to offset it. Yeah, it sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Red Bull's Red Edition is changing flavors, which is weird to me. It's following a successful summer promotion. Red Edition has been cranberry up until now, but it is now permanently switching to watermelon.
I am not happy.
No?
No.
You like the cranberry flavor?
I love cranberry.
It's gone.
You know how you feel about blue raspberry?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about watermelon. I don't like anything watermelon flavored.
Well, it's already gone. I saw it in Albertsons today. The watermelon's already taken over. But it's really weird to me that they just like had a successor to the name of a drink.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't it just be a different drink?
Right.
Why would you like, okay, we voted this one out, and now you get to be called this.
It's like, I don't know.
Red Edition's the presidency.
I think they're going to have a lot of people that are going to be upset with them this.
I bet they will. All right. They're not the only ones, though. Monster has just released Zero Sugar Ultra Watermelon.
What is the deal?
They must have just, like, it must have just recently been figured out how to make a watermelon-flavored energy drink that tastes good, and then they both had to come out with it. Because I see that happen all the time. Anytime a new flavor comes out in one of them, all the other ones copy it within like a week.
Really?
I feel like, or a month maybe.
Great.
But I'm into the Zero Sugar Monsters, so I might give that a try. All righty. Hormel Chili Ghost Reaper World's Hottest Chili.
This isn't what we're doing, is it?
No.
I can't do anything hot and spicy right now.
It won't be hot, don't worry. That terrifies me.
Yeah.
A hot dog. I'm like, ugh. I do not want to die.
I smell a prank coming along.
Pepperidge Farm is releasing a new Milano cookie for Christmas, the Amaretto Hot Cocoa.
I'm not a super fan of Amaretto.
No?
Mm-mm.
You know, actually, I'm not either. But I am a fan of Milano's.
Oh, me too.
I don't remember who it was that bought like a box of them when we were at the summit in California a couple years ago. Someone bought like a box of Pepperidge Farm cookies, and I ate most of the Milano's in those boxes.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I really do think it was me.
Well, I think it was too. It was one of y'all that went to Target or something.
I actually had the big sampler box of them.
That's what it was, yeah.
Last weekend the women's our women's retreat. Yep.
Yeah, those Milano's are fantastic.
That's my thing.
The double Milano's. Oh my gosh.
Oh, you know, but all the Pepperidge Farm, for the most part, all their cookies, ooh.
Yeah, you know what? They do a pretty good job. Pretty good jib. All righty. We got a trio of Jack in the Box-inspired things next.
Ooh.
Jack in the Box's new plant-based un-chicken sandwich. Now, look, I know it still sounds gross. I really think that's, though, because we are so accustomed to these vegetarian versions being so disgusting. But they have hit some sort of stroke of genius lately where they're tasting good. I've seen a picture of a cross-section of this. I would never be able to tell that wasn't actually chicken. And if they nailed the texture, just like they've done with the Impossible Burger...
Okay, I can agree with you.
Yeah.
The Impossible Burger was good.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it was very good. But you already know I don't like chicken.
That's true. You don't like chicken at all.
And now you're going to give me a plant-based chicken?
Maybe you'll like it more.
To me, it just like all the gag reflexes are happening right now.
Full body gag
right
now. Jack in the Box is also coming out with a chili cheeseburger, which... I wouldn't trust. honestly. I only trust one chili cheeseburger in fast food, and that's Wiener Schnitzel.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, because I know exactly how their food's made, and it looks great.
I could go for... I almost stuttered all over my words. I could go for some Wiener Schnitzel right now.
Mm, sounds good. You know, their chili... I hate chili. I've hated chili my whole life.
Really?
But it wasn't until working there and making the chili myself that I decided to give it a try, and I love their chili.
I agree.
I've tried other chilies that have similar flavors. I don't like them.
I agree. It's the only chili dog that I have ever had, even compared to Sonic. Mm-hmm. It's the only chili dog I've never had a chili burger, but it's the only chili fantastic. Dog I've ever had that I actually really enjoy.
Yeah. The chili cheeseburger, though, is bomb. Chili cheese fries, the first time I've ever tried that there.
Oh, yeah.
The chili cheese Fritos, that was the first time I ever tried there, where they limited time had the Frito pies. Goodness. So Jack in the Box, just quit while you're behind, because that ain't happening.
But there need to be more Wiener Schnitzels. There just True. Aren't enough.
Wiener Schnitzels, and I know there are still some hamburger stands, which are essentially the same restaurant.
Okay.
Just fewer hot dog options.
Okay.
But they are throughout the world. They're the tasty, you know, they bought Tasty Freeze throughout the world, throughout America at least. They bought out Tasty Freeze, so they got a few more spots there. If you got one, go get it, guys. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Jack in the Box chili scented face mask.
No, not chili.
Not chili. I'm sorry. Chicken scented face mask.
No, thank you. Yeah, this is like a nightmare to me.
That would be the best prank. While you're asleep, your husband just slides the chicken face mask over your mouth.
Nope. Wake up and
think you're being smothered by a chicken.
Yeah.
Suffocate you.
Yep.
You don't like me, huh? I don't like you either. Cluck, cluck, cluck.
No, thank you.
Funny. All right. Well, how about Hormel's Black Label Bacon scented face mask?
I could probably...
I would get sick with either of these.
Really?
After a couple of minutes, I'd be like, I can't keep smelling.
Well,
bacon.
I just feel like it wouldn't last for very long. The scent wouldn't be...
I feel like it'd be long enough.
just double layer your face mask. Put another face
Normal
mask.
One, and then
yeah. So it has to filter through, you know, because that's what masks do. They yeah. they filter all of the things.
All right. Well, we're switching up the order of our show a little bit. Normally, we do our taste test right after the Junk Food Tuesday, but we're going to save that for the beginning of the next segment. For now, we're going to jump into our main topic and just kind of touch on it to begin with. Last week, we teased that we might be reviewing a new movie we've been seeing previews for all over the interwebs. The preview was certainly intriguing. When two friends realize all faith-based films make buckets of cash, they set out on a mission to make one of their own.
So let's give you a feel for it by playing the trailer audio.
The only thing standing between you and your dreams is you. And your dreams.
Lord Father God, we give thanks and praise for all of these bountiful gifts.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
And Luke, his work in pool sanitation, Lord, it is really something else.
Tanner, it's time for us to do something with our lives.
Time to go to church.
The attendance of the church has been slowly declining. We need 75 grand just to make the rest of the years rent.
Okay, I got an idea. Faith-based. The entire genre is a goldmine. I want to make the best Christian movie Jesus has ever seen. It's time to show my dad what we can do. Dude, it seems like a lot of work. I'm in.
For these movies to make money, you need some keywords in the title. Purpose, faith, prayer. Heaven.
You know, Thoughts and Prayers, the movie. Prayer and Prejudice. Faith and Furious.
A prayer in space. The first prayer ever to be prayed in space.
You gotta talk about God. Doesn't have to be God, God. You can talk about a higher power.
So then it's like... the spaceship lands perfectly on Mars.
Action, space monster!
What the itchy double hockey sticks is this?
Why do all these Christian movies have to be bad?
They don't have to be bad. They just don't have to be good.
Lord, save me from these space monsters!
Christian movies are a great way to impact the world. And they're also very lucrative.
What do you two even know about making a movie?
So we'll dive deeper in the next segment. But for now, what were your overall impressions of the movie in general?
So it's one of those movies that Chris enjoyed. And I felt like I was losing brain cells watching it. He didn't hate it. He didn't love it, but he didn't hate it. And it's one of those just dumb, don't have to think.
Yeah, for the most part.
You know, just one of those movies where it's like, for me, I'm just like banging my head against a wall. This is so stupid.
There was, I would have enjoyed it a lot more than I did. Like, I didn't hate it either. It's not one of my favorite movies. I'm never going to watch it again.
Yeah.
But I would have enjoyed it a lot more and maybe given it another watch had there not been so much cussing. Just.
There were a lot of F-bombs.
You don't have to drop the F-word or the S-word in every single conversation in the movie.
Yeah.
Just go a few minutes without it. Let me acclimate. But it's like in the first, I think it was the first actual spoken sentence was a clip from a movie and they use the F word. I'm like, oh gosh,
here we go.
The tone for a terrible movie.
Yep.
And the preview doesn't really give you this feel. It doesn't feel like it's going to be that vulgar, but it really is. Ugh.
And it's really, really, for the most part, just one character. And they didn't say GD. So
they did not. Yes, right about that. There was a little bit of drug use in it, no more than any typical PG-13 movie out there, though. The thing that I noticed was, despite the fact that this is kind of lampooning Christians and Christian culture, they weren't really mean to Christians.
No.
They didn't portray Christians as evil.
Yeah.
If anything, they kind of portrayed them as rubes from time to time. But not as evil, which is the typical standard for Hollywood to paint the Christian as. There was never any situation where a Christian was like judging anybody or calling anybody out for being sinful that I can remember. If there was, it definitely wasn't a lot, and it definitely wasn't made like that was their character.
Yeah, there was one Christian guy who specifically called out. Gosh, is it Luke or Tanner? Who's the pastor's kid?
Oh gosh, I don't even remember.
Okay, the pastor's kid ends up being the one who cusses every other word, and the character, one of the Christian characters, called him out at least two times.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
at least two times. For.
But not harshly.
Using language. Not harshly, no,
really,
but
harshly,
it was...
Just like, Luke is that one.
Okay, it was definitely one of those like, can't hear that. Shouldn't be talking that way.
Just more of a chastising.
Right.
Thing. Not like,
but that was
that's
the only...
send you to hell.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah.
That was the only thing.
They did throw in there, which I was really not upset about, but just disappointed in. They threw in the weird gay Christian surprise, which I think might have been lampooning the idea that Christian men tend to sound effeminate when they talk about spiritual matters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we get more... camaraderie. It's almost like sports, you know, in sports, in locker rooms, you know, they get more, I don't want to use the word intimate, but that's the idea. They get more comfortable with each other to where they can joke around and, you know, whatever. In spiritual matters, Christian men tend to be more open about their emotions and about how they feel God's working, and that can be seen as effeminate from someone on the outside perspective.
Yeah.
And so I think they were playing up the joke of, you can't tell if this person's just super spiritual or if he's actually in love with you.
Yeah.
So that was, but they didn't really harp on that too long either. And they didn't make any point about condemning homosexuals or anything like that, which I guess was fun, not having to deal with that aspect of a Christian lampoon. So
overall, from a Christian standpoint, watching the movie, there were some moments where I was like, there were some cringe-worthy moments, if you will.
Yes.
And that scene is one of them.
Yeah.
But overall, it was a dumb movie.
Yeah. Like, we're definitely, just put on the record right now, not recommending this movie to any believer listening. But they did come up with a few... a few thoughts that we should chew on that we're going to get more on in the next hour. But a couple more funny things that I did see that I enjoyed. Number one, I think it was really funny that Luke, before becoming or trying to go into this venture of faith-based movies, he was selling teas. He was selling herbal teas.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's a really Christian thing.
Yeah.
the pyramid scheme.
Yep.
Herbalife and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was, so that was really funny.
And even his approach to it is very like, and listen, I can say this, okay? But his approach to it is, what did he say? I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I'm innovative. Is that something along those lines? And Tanner's like, what he means by that is he tries to sell these things to people.
Yeah. It's kind of shot in a mockumentary style.
Which
worked well in this movie. And then one of the cussing scenes was funny, was when they're actually filming the movie and they shoot one of the scenes and really excited. And he goes, yes, that was effing perfect.
Yeah.
And then like everybody stops very uncomfortable and goes, I mean, stinking perfect.
Stinking perfect.
I'm like, that's exactly how Christians cuss.
Yep.
That's stinking freaking, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
So that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did get into, and I don't know if you pulled them all out, and there might be some that you pulled out that I didn't catch, but there were quite a few things in here that I think are worth talking about, at least in general as a subject matter, and some points that I think they made about Christian culture that might be spot on.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more in the final segment.
But first up,
in that final segment, we'll be having a taste test.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, buckle up your taste buds when the Back Row Morning Show returns. I'm so scared.
For those of you keeping track of time, we're only up to about half an hour worth of show, or normally half hour long show. This taste test is going to take a bit of time, it's going to be great.
I'm so scared.
Stick around. What up, nerd? We hope you're enjoying the podcast. But did you know that Love Thy Nerd showcases most of their content on LTN Radio first? That's right. Check the schedule and listen to most of our shows before they're available here over at ltnonair.com. And while you're streaming, you'll also hear the best mix of Christian rock, rap, pop, and indie, and even some content made exclusively for our radio listeners. Stream directly from ltnonair.com or download the Live 365 app and favorite LTN radio. And let us become your new daily soundtrack. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show. I'm Station Manager Matt.
And I'm Mo, and we hope you're listening to us on LTN Radio when we air each weekday morning at 7 a.m. and again at 9 a.m. Central.
That's right. You can hear over... Hear. That's not what it says.
They can head over and
head
hear.
Head over and hear. the radio station at ltnonair.com and see the schedule. Also download the Live 365 app on your smartphone. Stay up to date with our shows and enjoy the amazing mix of music we have playing throughout too. Before we get back to the topic of the day, we have got a taste test.
Each Junk Food Tuesday, we taste test something new or odd or both. And today, Matt got to pick our taste test. Hooray!
Now, of course, this will be plenty entertaining in audio form, but it's even better on video. We record all of our taste tests and put the video, full video, up on our Facebook page at the Back Row LTN. Mo is slumping over in her chair.
I already don't feel well.
So go like us.
Like...
Go like us on Facebook at the Back Row LTN and never miss a bite. Today, the taste test is going to be a doozy. All right.
I'm so scared.
So here's your first hint. We've talked about it in our junk food news in the
today?
Past. No, in the past.
I don't want to know. I just don't want to.
What I got for you today is Branch's Turkey Dinner Candy Corn. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
with flavors.
Have you had it?
No, I opened it to separate some in a bowl for us, so we each have one of each color. The flavors of this candy corn, you can get a whiff of the bag.
I don't. Like.
You smell it? Not pleasing right off the bat, but sweet. I mean,
sweet.
Sure, most of it's
yes,
going to be sugar,
it's
sugary.
Sweet.
The flavors are green beans, roasted turkey, cranberry sauce, which will probably be nice, ginger glazed carrot, probably also okay, sweet potato pie, probably, and stuffing.
I want to cry. I really, like... We have to try one of each of them?
Yep. I've got them separated.
I'm so...
So here are the bowls. One of them looks decidedly like earwax, just so you're aware.
I don't want to do it.
Oh, come on.
You can't make me.
I really don't want to do it either, but it's for the
fans. I don't know why I'm convulsing, but I am involuntarily convulsing right now. Which one are we doing
first? We'll start with the red one. We'll start with the cranberry.
I don't wanna.
Sauce. Well, you just said you love cranberry.
I do.
So this
but first
is
of all, I don't
good.
Even like candy corn.
Well, it's not going to taste like the normal candy corn.
And none of this sounds appealing in the least. I'm serious. I'm already wanting to puke.
Here's the trash. Oh, the trash can's full. Here's a bowl. You can spit it back out in, but you got to at least have the flavor.
I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to spit it out.
You're going to eat it?
I will eat it. But I can't help it if I puke.
Okay, well, then use that. Just try and not splash it around. All right, cranberry. Cranberry sauce flavor. Here we go. Yeah. I don't even like cranberry flavor, but it's not bad.
I love cranberry flavor, and that's not cranberry, so.
It's all right. It's okay. All right.
I've just been reminded why I hate candy corn.
Why is that?
Because it tastes like earwax. Like, if I was to stick earwax in my mouth and eat it, that is the consistency.
All right. You need the white one with the yellow top. White one with the yellow top. This one is sweet potato pie.
Okay.
Yeah?
I actually like this one. Matt's making a weird face.
No. Okay, it's like, it's... Ooh.
It's strong.
It's coming in and out, though.
It is a very strong taste.
It's not terrible. It's very sweet.
It is...
Overwhelmingly sweet.
Nutmeg.
Yeah. But as I was chewing it, it wavered in between of, I like this, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I like this, I don't like this.
I can agree with that.
Mm. Okay.
I didn't get to the point to where I didn't like it, but it was definitely like, ooh, that's a whoop.
Whoop. Hold on. That might have been, did I eat the wrong one?
What do you think it was? What's the second
one? What's that one?
Or what's the third one?
Is this the carrot one?
This
is the carrot one.
That was not carrot, we just ate.
Sweet potato. So this is the kind of orangey one.
Orange on orange. Orange on orange.
So this is ginger glazed carrot.
Carrot.
Which also could be good.
Oh, but that could have been ginger. Now that you say that, what we just ate.
Then this one would be the other one.
Oh, no, that's carrot. That tastes like a carrot.
Wow.
That, oh.
Oh, yeah, it's turning.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That is so bad.
Okay, I'm not gagging. I mean, it's not that terrible, but it's not great at all.
There is nothing good about ginger carrot candy corn. That is disgusting.
Ugh. Yeah, no, that's not great.
Those are way too strong of flavors to have in one. Nope.
Mm-mm.
They should have done like brown sugar glazed carrots to give it a little bit of sweetness. But the
Okay.
Not a fan.
We're halfway down, Mo, and those were the easy ones. Oh, man.
Great.
Next up.
Green bean.
Green bean casserole. I hate green beans. I hate green bean casserole. Not looking forward to this. Here we go. Oh. Oh.
The sweetness is helping. That tastes like green beans. That for real tastes like green beans.
Oh.
And not the good green beans.
Ah.
All right, I will say this flavor is not as pungent as the sweet potato pie and the carrots.
Yeah.
It goes away pretty quick, but it's not good.
But it's not good.
It's not a good flavor.
Gross.
I'm not happy with you right now.
Ooh, I'm not happy with me. I was just so happy that I was able to get a bag. What happened? Did you call some up? What's going
All of the flavors are mixing.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken multiple sips of my water. There is no getting it out of your...
What were they thinking making this product?
Do you
Who
know
is this for?
That, it tastes like a Christmas tree. The green bean tastes like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, okay.
It's very piney.
All right, next up is stuffing. That's the one
I'm done.
Like a, it looks like a beer.
You can't make
caramel
me.
Color with a white top. Stuffing. I hate stuffing as well. Never enjoyed stuffing. Not a fan. Mo just gave me the look of death.
Oh. Nope. I hate these. Oh my gosh, I hate these.
I'm not going to get this one down.
You bite into them, and initially they taste pretty good. And then you continue to chew, and you realize that they put way too much stinking flavor in these tiny little candy corns. They are so bad. Matt just spit his out, by the way.
Oh, tastes like dog
it's
food.
It's stuck on the roof of my mouth.
Oh, God.
See, initially I took a bite and I was like, oh, that's good. Nope. No, no. It turned south real quick. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
It's bad. It's so bad. That one is so bad. It tastes like dog food. Oh. Oh. You can do it, Mo. You can power it through. Would you like a napkin to spit it out in?
No, it's gone.
Okay.
But I was talking to try and like...
And then when the talking was done, you couldn't fight through it anymore. Okay. Whew. One left. We're almost done, Mo. We're almost done with the greatest taste test of all time. Don't cry.
I am somewhere in between puking and crying. I have not fully decided which way I want to land yet.
The crying would be better.
I can't.
You can't do the last one?
But I have got goosebumps. That is how bad, like... My hair on my arm is standing up. Do you see that? Look at that.
Yeah.
And that is how bad it is.
The stuffing was terrible. That was by far the worst one so far. Okay, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it.
I'm not a weenie. I'll do it.
You said you can't. So I thought
I can't. I can't. But I can do all things through Christ.
That's exactly how that verse should be applied.
That includes these disgusting taste tests.
There is one thing that I can say about Mo. She is not a weenie. She will not back down. She might complain the whole time, but she will do it.
I will.
And she will win.
I will.
An opportunity. You went back for that second bite of the habanero. I mean, you won't quit.
My mouth is salivating and not in a good way.
Yeah, there's no stopping that. I'm the flavor's gone.
No, it's stuck on the top of my mouth.
Well, I spit mine out, though. But I had a lot of the flavor. I chewed it quite a bit before I spat it out. It was like that. It was like that dog food Bean Boozled.
You're right.
Like, it just couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
All right. I would think that that would have been this one, which is turkey. Roasted turkey flavor. Are you ready?
My stomach is upside down.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. It doesn't taste as bad as the other one. It does taste a little bit. Oh, God. Take it back.
I'm sorry. Oh. That tastes like raw meat. That tastes like, no, like spoiled meat. Like, if I had made a turkey sandwich.
It's because you're talking. It's because of the things you're saying.
Okay, I'll be quiet until you swallow it. I couldn't. I spit mine out. Nope.
Mm-mm. That one was easier for me than the stuffing. That one I was able to power through. That was even easier for me than the green beans, honestly. But it was bad. Your reaction, I cannot wait to see on camera, which you can too. Go on over to Facebook, find at the back row LTN, and you'll see the full video of these reactions, which this was a little longer than we typically go. I know on audio you don't get the full experience. This is a longer taste test. Normally it's just one bite of one thing. It's a special occasion because it's candy and it's Halloween week. And oh, Mo, I'm sorry.
It does. Listen. Expired deli turkey. That is what it tastes like.
There is turkey flavor, which is surprising. Surprising that they replicated that in candy form at all. But yeah, it does taste like expired, like bad turkey.
Yeah. Whew. I can't. I don't know how you powered through that.
You sounded like you caught on fire. Oh, Mo, I'm proud of you. We both only spat one out, so we're even.
I was not going to spit one out. That is bad if I had to spit it out. I can't.
Mints, please. Yes. Altoids.
Okay.
Take as many as you like. Saturate your mouth.
Sorry.
Oh, gosh. Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. Okay, we're going to calm down because we got stuff to talk about still.
Breathe in, breathe out. Nom, nom.
Oh, I've never been so happy to have an Altoid.
Yeah.
Curiously strong.
Right there. Curiously yes.
Oh.
I can't.
Mm-mm. Like, I knew it was going to be bad, but I did not expect it to be that bad.
I gotta reposition my chair now.
Whew. Oh, I got a headache.
I was done. I was ready to hop the sound booth.
I'm out. I quit. We're done. No more morning shows ever.
This is it.
All right. We're centered. We're back, everybody. Welcome.
Are we? Here I don't know.
All right. So last segment we talked about Faith-Based, the new movie that lampoons the idea of a faith-based film, but also takes a side look at Christian culture viewed from the lens of people who don't necessarily hate Christians, they just don't understand them. So we're going to dive a bit deeper into this film and some of the ideas that it brings up. I will start with one here. So one of the original premises is something that you heard in the trailer. No, I don't think you heard it in the trailer, but this is one of the things that is originally set up, is Christians will pay to see anything Christian. Essentially saying that if it's got that Christian label, you will have churches renting out movie theaters. You will have people buying it because they'll make them feel like a better Christian. They have it in their DVD rack or in their DVR or what have you.
Yeah.
I mean, is that accurate?
I would say it's about 90% accurate for sure.
I agree.
Yeah.
We do tend to get kind of in that box of if it's Christian, even if it's terrible.
Rent out the theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take everybody to see it because we know there won't be any cussing and nudity in it.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, I mean, sometimes that's fine, sometimes it's not. I think about the movies that we've had in the recent years, and they are surprisingly a lot better than the years in, like, the decade before, which were just purely terrible, like, starring Gary Busey and all these weird things. But, like, Fireproof,
yeah.
I enjoy that movie.
I like Fireproof.
I think that was put
War
together
Room.
Really well, acted really well. War Room was all right.
Courageous.
I liked that, too. Courageous, really good. What was that other one that recently came out that I really
can only
liked?
Imagine.
That was really good. I Can Only Imagine
was
really good.
What was the other one? I Still Believe.
I Still Believe was really good.
Notice that we're not mentioning God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead was not good. Not as a premise. Not as in that. It was all around terrible. First of all, they're at a Christian college. They're not a Christian college. Sorry, they're at a college, but he's dating a Christian girl, and she basically dumps him in the very early stages of the movie for loving God too much.
Mm.
And then that's the last we see of her.
Yeah,
she doesn't get comeuppance at the end. She doesn't come back and apologize. Nothing. It's just there to spit in the face of the main character and have no real semblance of moving on the story. I'm like, why? What's the point?
I just spit all over myself.
Because I did the Lewis Black wobble. Uh-huh. What's the purpose? But then also, nobody on the planet, let alone one of the Duck Dynasty guys, is going to pop up on a screen behind the Newsboys at a concert and say, we've all heard about some liberal professor having an argument about God's existence over there, and so we want you to text everybody on the planet God's Not Dead. That conversation is happening in literally thousands of liberal professor college classes every single day.
Yeah.
Nobody ever hears about it. But then the other thing was, if you're on the receiving end of that text, God's Not Dead, and you've never seen the movie,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting there thinking, did I say God was dead? Why is he texting me this?
Must be the wrong,
this is such
wrong
a weird
person.
Text message. No, I mean, I'm sure there were instances of people having hard times and they got that text and that was great, and I'm sure that's what they were banking on to do at the beginning, but
sure,
the movie just made no logical sense.
And once again, we are here to review and discuss faith-based the movie, not God's Not Dead.
Sorry. So that leads us to the second point, and this you did hear in the trailer. They asked the question, why do Christian movies have to be bad? Christian movies don't have to be bad, they just don't have to be good. And again, that plays right into it. They don't have to be good to make a lot of money. And because they don't have to be, they hardly ever are.
Yeah.
They don't feel the need to be made well. And in the movie, the company that's going to like distribute this movie is kind of seen as a factory for these films.
Right.
With people that don't believe in what the message is behind it.
Yeah.
And we are seeing, you know, big companies come out with these kind of divisions. Like Fox has a whole Fox Faith now film division with no real evidence that they have anything to do with actually believing what's behind these movies.
Right.
Or anything of that nature. Just that this is a new market we're going mm-hmm. after. And so they talk about that kind of in that meeting of, you know, and you have to talk about God, but it doesn't have to be God, God.
Yeah.
It can be just a higher power of some kind.
Right.
You know, and I mean, that's exactly right. There are a lot of spiritual, inspirational films that even don't get into real theology. It's just all kind of lovey-dovey,
make you feel good,
fuzzies kind of stuff. Or even blatantly bad theology, which so many of these movies have, doing things that are completely against anything you've seen in Scripture to get from point A to point B. Just some weird supernatural thing that's never occurred and never occurred to anybody to ever occur. And even God wouldn't have come up with these things to do to get from point A to point B. But these movie people, like, well, this is our MacGuffin to get to the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
God magic. And here we are.
Yeah.
You're saved.
Yep.
There was a... Okay, this was a big lampoon of the Christian worship industry in here. At the Father's Church. Did you hear the lyrics to the worship song?
Yes. Talking about the cross and...
It wasn't like gross or anything. It was like a lampooning of like this over-worship of the cross itself, as opposed to Jesus with the cross being the symbol. It was like, I hung a giant life-size cross in my room. If it fell on me, I'd be crushed for sure. That kind of thing. But it was sung as a worship song, and everybody was into it except like this little girl who's like,
"Yeah,
this is weird."
She was my favorite character, and you only saw her I think twice in the whole movie. But I talked about last hour. I talked about how there were a few cringe-worthy moments for me, and that was
definitely
Just hearing their praise and worship and how big is your cross? And, or how big is your love? My love is big, but do you know whose love is the biggest? Jesus's. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Unfortunately, I feel like this is a semi-accurate portrayal of a lot of worship teams.
So,
because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we go look for new music for the station every single week. And in the, new release, lineup, now every single week, at least half, usually far more than half, the releases are new praise and worship albums or singles from bands and churches that I've never heard of before. It's just this giant, booming genre now all its own, which is understandable now why K-Love and Air One can just play that constantly and never run out of material. But when you have that many new bands coming in, you're going to get some bad theology or just some whack lyrics.
Yeah. And that's a big thing that's happening right now within Christian circles, just talking about, discussing. We've even touched on it a little bit in the past, but bad theology through Christian music. Yeah. And should we be singing these songs within church? Or
should we sing songs that themselves might be biblically accurate if the church that it comes from has teachings that are way outside of biblical doctrine.
Right.
Or correct doctrine.
Right.
Those are difficult questions and questions that should be asked and hard really to answer.
Yeah. I can pretty much say with 100% certainty, if I ever walked into a church that was singing this cross song on Faith-Based, I would leave quickly. There was even one line where it said, my cross is so big enough for a body.
Yes. Like, making it clear that I have a full life-size cross.
Yes.
So they got it got him kicked out of his apartment because his roommate was uncomfortable with it. And that was like celebrating his giant-sized faith.
Yeah.
Because of the giant-sized cross.
My room is small, but my cross is big. Like, just
so cringy.
Even for Chris, when they said, my cross is big enough for a body, even Chris was like, oh,
this is bad.
Yeah.
This is so bad.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So in this movie, the guy Luke, he is an adopted son in a family whose dad is a pastor of this church. He's never really been attending the church since he was a kid anyway. But he goes to the church. They're trying to fund this movie. He goes to that film producer. They say, we will you know, we'll publish and send out and push and promote your movie. We will, you know, distribute it, but you have to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay for it. You have to make it on your own. Then if you do that, we'll pay you $200,000 and then we'll sell the movie.
Right.
And so the whole idea is make a movie for less than $200,000 so they can have that money. And they were the idea that he brought up to his dad was, let's try and get the church members to chip in to pay for it. And then we'll split the proceeds. We'll take $100,000. We'll give $100,000 to the church because the church needed to pay its rent for that year. They needed like $70,000. And then they needed another $100,000 on top of that to fix the roof. And so the dad eventually relents. Or no, he doesn't relent.
Mm-mm.
He just goes, Luke just goes on his own.
Yep.
Gets a couple people in the church to go along with him. And he gets up there and presents it to the church.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the movie, they're all walking out and there are two buckets, two donation buckets. And one of them says mission trip and one of them says faith-based movie. And we see a long scene of people just walking by, putting all the money in the faith-based movie, which I thought was a very powerful message on this topic.
Yes. Even my 9-year-old thought that it was a very powerful message on this topic. She had just walked in the room as he was presenting the idea to the church.
Yeah.
And she was asking us a question. We were watching the video, watching the movie, told her we'd answer just a second, give us a minute. And as the church members are walking out, tossing all the money into the faith-based bucket, she goes, "Wow, that's really sad. They didn't put any money in the missions bucket."
Yeah.
None. And I just went, "Huh. My 9-year-old gets it."
Yeah. And unfortunately, I believe that's kind of where our priorities tend to lie. We tend to lie in the kind of almost superficial stuff that's going to try and make us look better as Christians, as opposed to actually going out and doing the message, you know, as opposed to actually getting your hands and feet dirty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a good point that this movie made.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And they made a few good ones. In the movie, one of the lines in the movie, the movie they decide to make is Prayer in Space, the first prayer ever said in space, which is silly, of course. But it's about this crew that lands on Mars, and then they find out there's a space monster on Mars, and the space monster kills everybody except this one scientist lady, and the scientist lady is trying to get, you know, home and eventually prays to God and God saves her. That's the whole premise of the movie. The whole, you know, the actual story we see is all of 5 minutes long. But one of the lines in that at the beginning is, you know, they reach Mars and she's calling her mom saying, "Mom, I made it to Mars. We're here. We're safe." And the mom replies, "Well, just remember, if you happen to be the last person there," like setting up the idea that you will be the only one there, "that God is always with you. You can always trust him to be with you." And she goes, "Mom, I'm a scientist now. I'm not allowed to believe in God anymore."
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, oh, gosh. So this is one of those things that the secular world does believe of Christians. Believes that Christians are completely anti-science. And that we don't believe in it. We don't trust it. And that's not accurate.
Yeah.
there are things that we interpret differently, and that's exactly what science is.
Yeah.
It's about interpreting the data.
Right.
There's a lot of things that are still scientific theory that we can't, but I mean, that's a whole thing we'll get into later. But Christians very much do believe in science because we believe in truth. Anything that is true is of God.
Mm-hmm.
There are just some things that might not be driven actually by science.
Yeah.
I'm gonna dance around this. There are a lot of things that this world calls scientific proof that is really emotional need. There are people that say, because I emotionally need this to be true,
it is
scientifically true. And I know that's a very vague term, and I don't want to dive any deeper because we'll be here all day.
That's fair.
But I mean, that is an accurate way of how the outside world sees the church. And we don't always help ourselves to combat that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I get, you know, Can't just yell out climate change is a hoax every time climate change is brought up, when not really a hoax. There might be more layers to it than we talk about, but we're not helping ourselves and we just completely dismiss everything mm-hmm. in an argument. Moving on. Okay, so some of the positive stuff.
Okay.
The other... I hit myself in the face with a mic. The other character, the other main character, Tanner, right?
Yes.
That's the guy. He actually starts getting involved with the small group.
Yeah.
Has a bit of a falling out with Luke. What's wrong?
No, just... It's a small group. They all look normal size to me.
They get out of the they stop making the movie at one point. They have a falling out.
Mm-hmm.
Luke goes back to selling teas and cleaning pools, and Tanner's just kind of having a new life. He's got a girlfriend from this small group. He's reading the Bible. He's mm-hmm. hanging out with them. He's going to church more. He's having pretty much the best time of his life he's had,
mm-hmm.
he says. And he says, look, small groups and church is just like a more positive, less drunk version of a bar. And I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not inaccurate.
Right.
Because a bar is where people go to drown their sorrows and complain and try and forget about their troubles, while a small group is a place where you can let your troubles out.
Yeah.
And, you know, unburden yourself. The end result, at least at the end of the night, is the same, as you feel a little bit better or you've numbed that pain.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference with a small group is that you now have actual help.
Right.
Well, a bar is just you have more beer.
Yeah. I mean, some people do go to a bar
for
the social
device. Yeah.
The social aspect of it. And so I can even see that. What is the word I'm looking for?
Correlation.
That correlation there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's a weird way of putting it, but it's not inaccurate at all. but let's see. One of the lines, and I don't actually remember the scene, and maybe you can help me remember, that I wrote down here in my notes, was the biggest problem is being afraid to be who you really are. I think that was also in relation to small groups. Because he kind of caught into the small group pretending to be a Christian already, pretending to be a part of this world. And when he was talking about the only thing that he struggled with was having to put on a fake face.
Okay.
Which is also a thing that Christians have a big problem with.
Right.
I'm almost certain that's where it was.
I don't remember the line.
Yeah. It's what all Christians tend to do.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this 100,000 times on the show, but we all tend to put up a facade
mm-hmm.
to pretend like we're better than we are. And like you mentioned last hour, the only thing that we ever saw any Christian like really shaming anyone else for was like cussing.
Right.
You're like, we had a thing posted in the Backrow Baptist Church last week, a shirt that said, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little.
Mm-hmm.
And the comments in that, there weren't really like fights, but just watching the reactions, there were a lot of people who were like, I get it. I'm that way sometimes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, sad.
I know.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, okay, Mr. Perfect.
Mind your business.
You don't have any problems. You never made a mistake before. You never stubbed your toe when you're alone and yelled out the S word. Never in your life. I mean, we can't be in this mode of, that's how we get judgmental. Let me put it that way. That's how we turn judgmental. We get to the point where we deny that we have these urges. We deny that we have these problems. We deny that even we have these straight up sins that we hide from everybody else. And then to deflect from that and to make sure that no suspicion is ever put on us, we point the finger everywhere else.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that is where that mask comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anymore about being afraid to be vulnerable. I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of that, but that's not the main reason anymore that people wear masks in church. It's because they're afraid that if they admit they have a problem, they will be ostracized. They'll be looked at differently. They'll be kicked out. They won't be allowed to help or anything like that. If you're a man and you come up and you try to admit that you have a problem with pornography, you're afraid, and it often happens, you're not allowed to even like work with children anymore, volunteer for the youth, anything like that.
Yeah.
When 80% of men have this problem.
Yeah.
And 79% of them don't admit it.
Mm-hmm.
it's that kind of mentality, and the church does it to itself too, is once you become a Christian, you're not allowed to have problems anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never what the church was supposed to be.
Right.
All of these are really big topics that we could tackle on an entire show. But that's what really surprised me about this movie, is that it did make a lot of solid observations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of off observations about the Christian culture, but a lot of solid ones.
Mm-hmm. Everything was just kind of, like, nothing was very blatant.
Yes. Everything
in
was
your
very
face.
Passive. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was very, very passive. So I feel like if you're a Christian watching it, there are some things that are definitely going to stick out to you that you're going to be like, oh yeah, I don't like that. Or, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. If you have a hurt from the church, you know, there are going to be things that you see in the movie where you're like, yep, that's exactly how it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if you've never been exposed to church culture, you've never been a part of a church, you'll watch this movie and just be like, okay, sure. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
seems
nothing,
accurate.
Yeah, nothing is incredibly obvious.
Yeah. As I said, I did like, at least comparatively to other films and TV shows that depict Christians, I did like this portrayal much better. Like, one of the things that never happens in any secular portrayal of a Christian woman dating a man who's not a Christian in secular movies or TV shows, one of the things that never happens is that woman doesn't sleep with the man. That always happens. The Christian girl always sleeps with the unchristian guy,
mm-hmm.
and proves that she didn't really care that much about purity, or she doesn't, you know, anything like that.
She's not strong enough.
Yeah. There's always this, she's weak. Mm-hmm. Christianity's a joke anyway, that kind of feeling. That's always what you get. And they didn't do that in this movie.
Yeah.
Tanner dated that girl. You see them kiss one time, and mm-hmm. it's very nice. It's not gross. It's not over the top. And that's all we ever see. That's all that's ever implied.
Mm-hmm.
There's never an implication that they've done anything more than that. And I liked that.
Yeah.
I liked that. I thought that was nice and fair. Because mm-hmm. just stop hitting below the belt when you do this stuff.
Yeah.
All right? I don't mind that you lampoon Christians, because Christians are not above any other culture to be lampooned, but just don't be jerks about it all
right?
the time. Gosh. Anyway, the movie was kind of hopeful in a weird way.
It was.
It ended nicely.
I know.
Not only did they get the movie made, but the money, they gave the money to the church, their half.
Paid off the mortgage.
Paid off the mortgage. Yep. And then they decided to give their half of the money, the guy's half of the money, to the church as well to fix the roof.
Right.
And went back to having no money and doing what they had done before. But they felt that's what the right thing to do mm-hmm. was. To put all that money into the church, which, terrible worship song aside, at least seemed to be a group of nice, actual, kind church-going folk.
Sure.
That just wanted to live life the best they can.
Yeah.
And be kind. And they were very generous, despite the fact that they gave all the money to the movie. They were very generous. They were on board with it. They were.
Yeah.
They gave as much as they had, which was kind, you know, it was kind and in good spirit, even if it was misguided in theory. I wasn't wholly disappointed in how Christians were portrayed or how the movie ended. Overall, still not a great movie.
No.
But some solid points and some solid discussions can be brought out of that. We are strongly telling you, you don't want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
So don't do it. It's not as great as the trailer implies it to be.
Right.
Like, I saw that trailer, I'm like, I'm all about this movie. Watch the movie. I'm not about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty good when it comes to discussion that can be brought out of it.
That's the thing. When you're willing to see something from maybe, I don't know, from a different perspective,
an unbiased perspective.
Yes. And you're willing to say, okay, there is not 100% truth in this, but we can have some good conversation from it. You know, if you are at a place where you're willing to do that, you're able to do that. Okay. Watch at your own risk. But if you find yourself being a little more, I think cynical is the word, if you find yourself being a little more hardened to where you get really frustrated and aggravated and just annoyed at things that portray to be Christian but are obviously not, then you don't watch this at all, period, dot, end of discussion.
Sure. I will say for this, if I'm trying to encapsulate my thoughts about how it's portraying Christians, I really believe that this movie attempted to portray Christians as the majority of non-Christians see it. Not necessarily offensive, like just an unoffensive, maybe sort of rubish, but generous and kind and just, you know, they're having their own thing over there kind of group.
Yeah.
A few things that maybe they think of wrong, but it's, you know, it's not like we see it portrayed everywhere else. I feel like most portrayals of Christians are coming from a spiteful place. They're coming from a, you know, let's lampoon everything that every Christian protest ever, you know, brought up kind of thing, or let's make them look terrible, or let's make them look worse than, or let's make them look like hypocrites and all this kind of thing, the worst hypocrites they can be. It's always coming from a spiteful place. I don't think this portrayal of Christians came from a spiteful place. I think it just came from a kind of honest perspective outside.
Yeah.
I believe that every perspective or everything that was shown off, even the kind of over the top stuff like the worship song, was still from a genuine perspective. Because if you listen to some of the worship songs and you don't know anything about Christianity or hymns or anything like that, talking about blood and, you know, covered by the blood.
I know.
That line, while beautiful when you understand the symbolism, terrifying to someone who has no idea what you're talking about.
Washed
horror movie.
In the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, I mean, anything like that. If you really stop to think about it, if you don't know church culture, have no idea about any of the symbolism, you're like, what is it?
What
cult
did
am
I just
joining?
Walk into? Exactly. What lamb are they washing themselves with? Yeah.
So yeah, from that point, I appreciated it, that, you know, at least kind of makes sense. And I wish that there would be more of that when it comes to portrayal of Christians. It reminds me of Shirley Bennett from Community. Did you ever watch Community?
No.
Shirley Bennett is I think the most accurate portrayal of a Christian in media.
Okay.
It's clear that she has her own problems and her own issues, and she covers them up by being a little bit overly judgmental to other people, but she realizes that from time to time and reels it back and apologizes. There's always a time, any time that she does get to be too judgmental, and it's like the point of the story, it's always realized by the end of the scene that she's actually covering up some other hurt that she's had recently or whatever, and she comes to terms with it.
Mm-hmm.
She deals with it. She handles it like a Christian should. It's revealed that she has a bit of a rough past with drinking and a rough time in her life that she tried to cover up, and it got revealed, and she was embarrassed and struggled with it. But once it actually went over, like once that moment of it being revealed and her embarrassment was over, she was able to find support in her friends and actually kind of work through that and get past it. She was not perfect by any means. She wanted to be. She was trying to be perfect, and sometimes that came off wrong, but oftentimes it roundabout came about the right way. And the way that she treated everybody was in a loving way, as she should have. And I love that portrayal. And if that's the only reason I'd recommend you watch Community, I'd say watch it. But that's I've always believed that. The best portrayal of a Christian, a real, genuine Christian.
Yeah.
In TV, in my opinion.
Okay,
well, we've talked that to death.
Yeah, we kind of did.
We need to go gargle from that taste test.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take one more break. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to answer a question that you've been dying to ask us, I'm sure.
More Backroom Morning Show to come.
Stick around. This week in nerdy news, this is LTNN. In an interview with the New York Times, Elizabeth Olsen, who plays Scarlet Witch in the Marvel movies and the MCU and the upcoming Disney Plus exclusive series WandaVision, says that the show is actually going to take a hard look at mental health and mental illness issues, which is something that the character struggles with in the comics, which is pretty darn cool. Disney Plus is also working on a sequel series to the movie Willow, starring Warwick Davis, set years after the events of the original film, and introducing all new characters to the enhanced realm of fairy queens and two-headed Ebersic monsters. Okay. Why not? After Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I can't say her whole name, AOC, played a game of Among Us with some of her followers, the game got spammed with pro-Trump propaganda, like almost like a virus attacking the chat boxes. Took a few days to fix that, and I'm sure it was a little annoying, a little suspect, but AOC, you're a congresswoman. What are you doing? Pass a bill. And lastly, Magic the Gathering is teaming up with Extra Life to help some kids. The two companies will be supporting the Seattle Children's Hospital via a dedicated secret lair drop happening next month, as well as via Twitch streams, auctions, and more. The November secret lair will be Secret Lair Extra Life 2020. There will be premium foil alternate art cards based on highlighting the importance of family and children. The cards include Collected Company, Consecrated Sphinx, Amulet of Vigor, and Teferi's Protection. The Secret Lair will be available to pre-order from November 6th through the 9th and will cost $60 for each copy sold. Wizards of the Coast has pledged to donate $30 to Extra Life. Pretty neat, gang. That is going to do it for this week in Nerdy News. I've been Station Manager Matt, and this is LTNN. Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show as things are winding down for the day.
But first, we're going to answer an Ask Us Anything question. Oh, I always get that mixed up. Always. What is something you've always wanted to do but are scared to? Ooh.
Okay. Gosh, this is a hard one. Because there's a lot. There's a lot I don't want to do. I'm not sure there's a lot that I want to do, but I'm scared to. There's a lot I'm scared to do. Shoot.
Because he's a weenie.
I'm scared to eat sushi. I really want to eat sushi, but I'm scared. Oh, but I just ate these candy corns. Can't be worse than that, right?
It's not. It's really not.
Definitively stating, it is not worse than that. Oh, gosh. I don't know. Anything with heights, you know, I'd like to. I definitely wouldn't like to bungee jump. I've always been intrigued by like skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too afraid of that. I'd die falling just from the fear. I really like roller coasters. That used to be a thing. I love roller coasters now. The corkscrewy ones and all those. I don't know. What do you got?
I came to a decision, but I was having a battle in my head, just like you are currently having a battle, because we both have a shared fear of heights. Neither one of us care for
heights
at all. Yeah. And there's a lot of things that I would really like to do that require me getting out of that box. But I think more than that, I've always wanted to learn how to surf.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. So I grew up on a coastal state, less than an hour from the beach, and all of my friends growing up knew how to surf. It was something that they just knew. They grew up doing it. And I can remember always thinking, man, that's so cool. I wish I could learn how to surf. But it also just terrifies me to get out into the middle of the ocean, not being able to, you know, make my way back to shore, the current taking me out too far.
Sharknado.
Sharks don't scare me quite as much because in North Carolina, you don't see many sharks on that coast. Okay. So that wasn't, I'm sure it was always like a, I mean, there could be a shark, I don't know, but that was never my initial concern behind it.
Gotcha.
It was more of a concern of being taken out into the middle of the ocean and not being able to get back.
Hmm. Okay, I think I know what I've always wanted to do and I'm scared to, and it might not be as scary these days, but it has been in the past. It's getting easier and easier to do this. Traveling to a country that speaks a completely foreign language, does not speak English as a second language naturally.
Yeah.
And trying to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, you know, going to Japan or China or something like that. That terrifies me. Yeah. I'd love to see Japan. I'd love to see Tokyo. But being there, especially if I was by myself, I feel like I'd just die on the street.
Yeah. That's fair.
But now we got like Google Translate or whatever has a thing where you can just talk right into it and it'll translate it for you right then and there. And I'm like, that's brilliant.
Yeah. I have come to learn, though, that it is a lot more common in other countries for them to have their language as their first language and then English is a second language.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
is sure taught. That's also
much more common.
You know, we have the option in high school to learn Latin or Spanish or German or, you know, French.
After 2.5 years of Spanish, I remember colors
right
and numbers.
So in a sense, like, America kind of sees it as a joke, and I don't mean that in an ugly way, but it's just not something that's, you know, it's not something that's a priority, whereas in many other in many other countries and cultures, knowing how to speak English is important. It is necessary. So.
And you see, what you just said reminds me of something that happened. I think it was during the Republican National Convention. Melania Trump got up to speak, and she has that very thick accent. And I think it was Joy Behar from The View was watching and tweeted, "Oh gosh, she still can't speak English." I'm like, she can speak five languages, and she's doing just fine with this one. I'm like, that's exactly the American attitude.
It is.
She can't speak English perfectly. She's stupid.
Yeah. I hate that. it's one of the biggest things that bothers me. We're in America. Learn how to speak English. Okay, you go to another country and see if you can pick up their language.
Right. And we're here in New Mexico, which, for those of you who don't know, is a part of America. But
we are not in Mexico. We didn't need a passport to get here.
Yeah, but it has a heavy Latino population.
Yeah.
And a lot of people speak Spanish. And we do have a number of people who get too Americanized and get upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yes, you do. Like, I understand maybe if you live in an area of the country that doesn't have a heavy Spanish population, if you recall on the thing that says press 2 for Spanish, and that irritates you somewhat. I guess I kind of get that if you're not exposed to it every day. But here we're like, yeah, of course you're going to have the Spanish option. Of course that the school is going to send out the memo in both English and Spanish. There's a lot of Spanish-speaking households around here.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we just, like, get mad at them for not knowing English perfectly or understanding better in their native language?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the problem.
Yeah. I actually read a quote not long ago that said, if you have a problem with other people speaking another language in America, then you're living in the wrong country.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's end with our verse for the day.
Our verse for the day is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
That's going to do it for our show today. Be sure to check out all of what we do online at lovethynerd.com. We've got amazing articles on all things nerdy, as well as this show, LTN Radio, and our other podcasts and videos, including, by the way, I haven't made mentions of this. I should have mentioned it last week leading up to it, but last Friday night, my friend, our friend, John Berkey, and I launched a brand new Love Thy Nerd podcast called Two Words. It's about wrestling. And the two words for last week were why wrestling, where we discussed why how we got into wrestling, why we're still fans, and we gave our predictions for the pay-per-view this past week, did some impressions, wrestlers reading the Bible, which turned out actually really funny. it's really good. So go check that out, too. But, yeah, you can catch that. It'll be roughly every other Friday here on LTN Radio. Let's see here. If you'd like to directly support our mission to become a financial partner with Love Thy Nerd, and specifically with LTN Radio, please visit lovethynerd.com/give and choose LTN Radio from the drop-down menu. Love Thy Nerd is a qualifying 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax-deductible. And if those numbers mean anything to you, that's great. If they don't mean anything to you, we'd love your support anyway.
Make sure you're following us on all the socials at the Back Row LTN, at LTN on Air, and at Love Thy Nerd. And the Back Row Morning Show has its own Facebook group community for Christian humor, Back Row Baptist Church. So search us out and join in on the fun.
Lastly, just in case you ever miss a day, find the Back Row Morning Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, and leave a review, something along the lines of, it's fine.
We'll be back tomorrow morning right here on LTN Radio at 7 a.m. Central with an encore at 9 a.m. Have a great day.
Mo, final thought.
I still hate candy corn.
Ugh, it was gross.
Yep.
And remember, if nobody else tells you, we promise it's true. Jesus loves you, nerd. This might actually put me off normal candy corn.
Work with a bunch of nerds.
This is Mo from the Back Row Morning Show, and I've got your 5 random facts. New NASA findings suggest there may have been active lava flow on the moon 100 million years ago when dinosaurs were believed to roam, suggesting there were active volcanoes on the moon at that time. Giraffe tongues can be 20 inches long, and the dark bluish-black color is probably there to prevent sunburn. The Olympic world record for the longest human long jump is greater than the world record for the longest horse long jump. James Cameron sold the script of Terminator for $1 and the promise to direct in hopes of getting his big break. It worked. The first commercial plane ride lasted 23 minutes in 1914 for $400, which equates to about $8,500 today. Two men flew from St. Petersburg, Florida to Tampa, Florida. For more random facts and hilarious nonsense, tune in to the Back Row Morning Show Monday through Thursday at 7 a.m. Central with an encore at 9.